providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
Hey, welcome in back for the second half of KAR Politics. We're going to talk a little bit. First of all, I'm going to get back to the Ukraine. Jim wants to talk about the Budapest Agreement that I think is very instrumental in this whole thing. Jimmy, you're on, bud.
Yeah, so I'd mentioned in the first segment today about the agreement in the United States and Russia, and including the UK, negotiating for the Ukrainian government to give up basically a third of the former Soviet nuclear arsenal. Mm-hmm. On security guarantees of the sovereignty of Ukraine. And of course, the former Soviet government of Ukraine, for the Republic of Ukraine, actually stayed in power and cut that deal, but then they did start moving towards elections. It was incredibly corrupt, and there's no question corruption remains in every one of the former Soviet states to some level, with the exception of the Baltic states, which have done a pretty good job at cleaning things out because they decommunized. Ukraine was very late in that process. After living in the Republic of Georgia, after serving and visiting in Ukraine before, I realize how challenging that is, and it takes a generation to move beyond that level of corruption. And of course, we have corruption here in the United States that many in Europe look at as just as bad as anything over there. So the real issue, though, the Budapest Agreement in 1994 between the Clinton administration, then Prime Minister, the UK Prime Minister, I think it was Tony Blair at the time, and it was John Major.
Yeah.
And then and Boris Yeltsin, was to guarantee the sovereignty and guarantee the security of Ukraine if they would give up those nuclear weapons. Now, obviously, that turned into be a mistake. And I'm going to tell people out there, every one of the former East Bloc countries that were underneath the satellite umbrella of the former East Bloc countries, underneath the umbrella of the former Soviet Union, I'm talking about Poland, Hungary, Czech Republic, Slovakia, Slovenia, Poland, these countries were scared to death of the advances of Russia and Putin. Ukraine was also in that same boat. Belarus was the only one that maintained that same relationship, and that's because Lukashenko, the leader of Ukraine, has really never left office. It was a very powerful ally for Russia and Yeltsin all the way back. So after the Soviet Union collapsed. So that agreement to withdraw those nuclear weapons in 1994 in Budapest actually has been broken by the Russians. It was in 2014 in the invasion of Crimea.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also been broken by the United States and the UK for failing to act in the defense of Ukraine. Now, a lot of problems, a lot of challenges with what's happening out there. But you cannot ignore that agreement and those relationships, and then fast forward to 2014, 2015, and the Minsk Agreement, where under the threat of violence from Russia invading Crimea and causing more problems in eastern Ukraine, and say somehow that wasn't done under duress and that those agreements were still, that any of this was still valid. And ultimately, it's about power that makes these things valid or not. So anyway, I just wanted to follow up from the first segment to give people some background there, and they're welcome and should research it, exactly what happened and the agreements that were made and that have been broken by all parties involved.
Yeah. Well, the one comment that I want to make, I want to get back. Ukraine is Ukraine, and it's going to be with us for a while, and we're not going to change anybody's mind, I don't think, but I firmly agree with you, Jim, from what I know categorically about that situation. I want to talk a little bit about something that I've noticed this past week on the various networks, and that is that a lot of the networks, including CNBC, seem to be turning against President Biden. And we actually had a CNBC personality apologize for reporting some incorrect news. Why the big change, Jim?
I think it's becoming quite obvious that the powers that have kept Biden in office have decided that maybe he's no longer they're gonna basically throw him under the bus. Mm-hmm. He's no longer a viable candidate for 2024. He stated that he would run again in 2024, that he was capable of doing that. I think Democrats are absolutely terrified that he may go ahead and try to continue with that election process, not allow others to step into the 2024 primaries, because you really have to get started now.
Yeah.
And if he continues to make the statement that he's going to run again, then other people will not have the advantage. They won't have the money. They won't have the resources. They won't have the political connections within the party, the Democratic Party, to actually compete against him, and or to compete against Republican nominee.
Right.
And that puts them in a very difficult position. So they're going to have to take action fairly quickly. And I think what you're seeing with the media is, you know, as kind of the spokespeople for the Democratic Party with mainstream media and tech and corporate interests, is they've given up on it. And they realize the risk to the party by keeping around. He just makes too many gaffes. He says things and does things that are too dangerous for the party and too dangerous for their potential consolidation of power they're working towards. And
Jimmy,
I think you're seeing it.
Yeah, this past week, Biden came out and announced that he had cancer. That struck me as being probably a pretty good segue out of office. Where do you think that's going to go?
Well, the White House and some pundits, WAPO, a couple of writers, some leftists have said, oh, he was talking about skin cancer sometime. He made it very clear. It was off script. And he made the comment that he had basically, because of oil industry and his and it growing up, he and many others have cancer. And of course that, you know, media is like, what? Everyone's like, oh my gosh. People have tried to just, well, he's talking about skin cancer. That has nothing to do with oil. Skin cancer has nothing to do with oil. So anybody that's actually trying to defend that comment, basically it shows that Joe Biden is a pathological liar. And we've known this since he ran for office in 1988, where he said he was the top of his class, where he had two degrees, all these things. There's lots of evidence that he makes stories up. Well, you combine that with the faux pas he made in this last Saudi trip, fist bumping the bin Salman, the Saudi prince, that's responsible for the Khashoggi, according to all sources, responsible for the Khashoggi killing. The statement that he made, that the honor of the Holocaust, and then corrected himself and said the horror of the Holocaust.
Yeah.
The continuation of these mistakes really, really hurts him and hurts the Democratic Party, hurts credibility of Washington, and I think they're just done with it. I think people can't continue on supporting him, and you're seeing people back away from him in the very powerful people of the Democratic Party.
Well, you can't say that for the Republican Party in the sense that they're, of course, backing away from Joe Biden, but the second half to that statement that's even more important is Republicans are really, really getting ready for 2024. I mean, you see that in the Trump camp. You certainly see that in the DeSantis camp. And I think sooner rather than later, you're going to see it more and more in the Ted Cruz camp also. Although I firmly believe that we have said so many times that it looks like it's going to be Trump and DeSantis.
I think it's probably will. When you look at the number of Hispanics that have moved to the Republican Party, you see the Democrats like flailing with issues that focusing on very progressive leftists. It's very problematic for them.
Yeah.
The polls do not look good.
No, the polls look terrible, to say the least. Ladies and gentlemen, Jimmy and I are going to be right back to wrap up KER Politics. Stick around.